Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska. I am your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. During these programs, I want to share with you some of the treasures I have found during my treasure hunt into the Word of God and some of the miracles I've seen along the way. Tonight, we are doing a study on Can God use women in the ministry, and what is God, is our position in the ministry? But before we get into that, I want to pray. And to do that, what I like to do is first ask the Lord to cleanse me from all my sins so that His Spirit is free to flow through me. If we have sins, they can get in the way of the free movement of the Spirit of God. I like to pray the scriptures themselves in order to do this, because the Word of God is our intercessor, as it is the body of Jesus Christ that we lift up to God as our offering for our sins. In order to get to God, we must go through Jesus Christ. He is the one and only mediator between man and God. He is also the door to the sheepfold. And so in order to enter in to get to the Father, we must go through His Son, Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'm going to be praying from Psalms 51, 1 to 2, and Psalms 32, 5 to 7. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Lord, I ask you to send out your Spirit and draw in whoever it is that you would like to be here for this teaching tonight, and also those that you would have to listen to this in the archives, Lord. Send your ministering spirits to each and every one of us, Lord, that come together in this teaching tonight. Lord, I ask you to minister to us. I ask you to guide us in the scriptures. I ask you to unify us in that one mind, one body, and one spirit. I ask you, Lord, to help me to present your word in such a way that it will help edify the body of Jesus Christ. Help us to come together in the unity of the faith and of the Son of God. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, may your will be done here tonight, not mine or anybody else's, Lord, but yours alone. Help me to do what you want me to do here tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise God. I see, I close my eyes and the chat room's filling up fast. I want to welcome Loopy here, Rosemary, Pumpkin, Patriot Greg, Meg. I see Lee is in here, and we have a guest in here. Also, I want to welcome all of you here tonight. Praise God. It's good to have each and every one of you here. All right, we are going to start this out in 1 Timothy. And again, this is on women's position in the church and in the body of Jesus Christ, okay? We're going to start out in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So when we're praising the Lord, we need to be lifting our hands up to him according to this. And also when Moses lifted up his hands during battles, that's when the battle was won. And we started this teaching yesterday, but because Blog Talk was having so many problems, we were unable to do more than just a few minutes, and so I'm starting it all over again. But I wanted to bring this part out about lifting up holy hands because, like I was saying, when Moses' hands were lifted up, the battle was being won. And in fact, Aaron, I think it was Aaron and Hur, when Moses' hands were getting too weak, they actually helped to stay his hands up. And if you think about it, that position makes a lot of sense if you think about a mother, for example, and a little child. My grandson is about 3 years old. And whenever he wants his mom's attention, his hands both go up and stretch out his arms for her to lift him up to her. And so since God is our Father, wouldn't it make sense for us to lift up our hands to him, to worship him as well? And when we do, he lifts us up in the spirit, nearer to him, higher and higher, closer to him. It draws us closer to him. And like when Moses' hands was up, that's when the battle was being won against the enemy. And so it works for us as well. It's like a surrender position. I've heard people tell me how when you raise your hands up, you know, if somebody pulls a gun on you, they tell you to put your hands in the air. Okay, well, it's a surrender position. And so what we're doing, we're acknowledging, hey, Lord, we need your help here. And I love to lift up my hands when I'm worshiping the Lord. Okay, let's go back to this. This is verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. See, if we're going to wear real fancy stuff, it's almost a sign of the flesh instead of the Spirit of God. This shamefacedness is what women should be presenting, because we're supposed to die to our flesh. And so if we're trying to adorn our flesh real fancy, we're not really dead to the flesh. We want to be thinking about God and him alone, especially when we're worshiping. okay, not what somebody else is thinking of us. And so if we're wearing fancy stuff in order to get other people's attention, it actually can take attention away from God, because that's who they're supposed to be seeing when they see us. It's God and Him alone. All right, verse 10 says, "But which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Verse 11 says, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Okay, something I want to bring out here is this: the women here that this is talking about, from what I'm getting from this, is they're married women, because they're supposed to be learning and they're supposed to be in subjection. And so they're being subject to their husbands, because the husband is the head of the household. And so a woman is supposed to be under submission to her husband if he is a godly man. Now, if you submit to somebody that is not following Jesus Christ the way they are supposed to, you're actually submitting yourself under whoever they are following. So you also want to be really careful with that. But it also says, let the woman learn. So obviously from here, this is an unlearned woman as well that it's talking about. And it talks about in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. So obviously men are included in this too. So to me, this looks like somebody that's married. When you look up the word woman here in the Greek, let me see if I can find it real quick. It says probably from the base of the Greek 1096, a woman, especially a wife, wife, woman. But, you know, I thought, okay, well, that proves that this is actually a wife that this is talking about, but that's not so. Because I looked up woman in the Greek in many, many places, and it almost always has that definition for it, even when it's talking about women that were virgins. Okay, so it can be a wife, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a wife. Okay, Pumpkin has G. I could never do that. My husband does not own me, and I do not own him. No, hon, I'm not talking about being owned by them. It's being loved by him. And the way God set up for men and women to be in the Bible, it is if you have a godly husband, he would be like Christ himself, because Jesus Christ was willing to sacrifice his life for his body, the church. Okay, and the church represents the bride of Christ. And so the picture is that the husband should also love his wife to such a degree that he also is willing to sacrifice his life for her. And they are one flesh. And so he is supposed to treat her the same way that he would want to be treated. And when there is godly love between a man and a woman, there's not going to be him trying to force you down and things like that. It is going to be a love relationship where you are both involved in decisions. But ultimately, the decision is up to the man, because he has the headship, okay? And the man is supposed to follow God, okay, and exactly what God wants him to do. And if a man is doing what he's supposed to do and leading his family the way he's supposed to, that family is going to be so full of love that that woman will be happy. There won't be any problem with her submitting to her husband, because her husband will be treating her the way that he should. And so in that situation, that woman shouldn't have to worry about it. It's when men take this as a permission to beat their wives or do those kinds of things, well, they're not going to beat up on their own self. And so you're supposed to treat your wife because you're supposed to be one flesh with her. And so you're supposed to treat her the same way that you would be treated yourself. Okay, let me see what we've got in the chat. Greg has, well, married women are subject to their husbands and single women subject to spiritually mature women. Actually, that's not true. A woman is supposed to be subject to a spiritually mature dad, not another woman. They're supposed to be taught by another woman, yes, but they are supposed to be subject. The dad is the one that is the head over that family. That's the way that it was originally put. But the problem now, we have to look at the world the way it is right now. For example, my dad does not know God, and so I do not have that. My husband did not know God, okay, and so I did not have that. And so my husband is Jesus Christ, and he is my leader, because there is no other spiritual leader for me available that is following God the way he wants him to. Okay, let me look. I Endure has, a woman who is single is in her father's house. Yeah, supposed to be, yes. Let's see. Pumpkin has, I have had Christian women who are married tell that they have to do everything their husbands tell them to do, regardless if they want to or not. Well, it depends on how that household is being run. We're supposed to love our husbands like Christ does the church. That's the way it's supposed to be. And if it was being done the way God designed it to be, there would be not a problem, okay? The problem comes in when men and women get in their flesh and they decide they want to do things their way instead of letting God do his way. Okay, I want to welcome Rosemarie also. I don't know if I welcomed you before in Revelation 7. Praise God, it's good to have you here. And I Endure also. Praise God. Okay, I Endure has, it's an idiom to make a name, build a house, or make a seed. I'm not sure what you mean by that. Pumpkin has, that is okay for a Christian, but not for me or my husband. Revelation 7 says, if a woman is a single mother, then she is the high priest of her house and children. Well, she's supposed to be submitting to Jesus Christ. Okay, Rosemarie has, husbands actually have a deeper role than the wife. They have to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Absolutely. They are supposed to, yes. But if they're not doing what they're supposed to, then it tears that whole family environment down. And that's why, you know, yeah, and that responsibility is going to come back on that husband. And he will be held accountable to God. Okay. And Rosemarie says, you can't help love a husband like that. There it is. Exactly. All right. Let's go to, I also wanted to show you where it says, let women learn in silence, okay? They're not supposed to be speaking in the church in this instance. Now, to me, this is a married woman that's being subject to her husband, and she is unlearned. This is very important for us to know, because it would not say women learn if she was already learned, okay? She's obviously learning, and so she is still growing in Christ. It's real important to understand this. Okay, and also it talks about usurping authority over the man. Well, we are going to get into some scriptures where it's actually going to show where God shows just the opposite happening. Okay, but I want to explain to you why that takes place. Okay, the actual word for usurp is the Greek Strong's number 831, and it says from a compound of eight, of the Greek word 846, autos and obsolete hintes, a worker, to act of oneself. This is the critical definition for this word, to act of oneself. That's usurping authority. That's taking authority from that other person. Okay, it's acting out of yourself. It would be like you walking in the flesh instead of the spirit. Okay, you taking it upon yourself to do something instead of contacting the other person first, okay? Acting out of your own self instead of as a husband and wife team. It also says in this definition, it says, to act of oneself, i.e. figurative, dominate. Okay, if she's usurping authority, she's trying to dominate that husband. That is against God. Okay, in order to do that, that is going against God's setup. Okay, women are not supposed to do that when they are married. Okay, very, very important. Okay, notice it's authority also. Well, we also need to understand that the authority goes by what God gives us. We are given authority by God and Him alone. If someone is not following God, but they are following the devil is the one that has given them authority. And so you do not want to submit under the authority of the devil. Okay, this is a decision that each person has to make on their own. But if they are submitting themselves to the authority of the devil and you fall underneath of that willingly, you are having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Okay, and we're not supposed to do that. So these are things to think about. Okay, let's see. Okay, that one didn't talk about teach. Okay, let's go on to our next scripture, and that is going to be in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. And the reason I'm bringing up these two scriptures, because these are the main ones when people talk about a woman's role in the church. These are the main ones that come up, okay? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. And see, this is the operation within the body of Christ. And we are all subject to this movement of the Spirit of God. And in order to have order, you have to be listening really closely to the Spirit of God and moving with Him. If several people get a prophetic utterance, you need to be careful, because some people might want to blurt it out all at the same time. And so it's good to step back, you know, just like when we're having a conversation, instead of interrupting somebody, it's good to step back and allow the other person to speak. Okay, and so this is basically the same kind of thing, except it's through the Spirit of God speaking. And so he's just basically teaching here how to do things within order. Okay, let's see. Verse 28 says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Now, why do they say the word judge in here? Because there are some times when a prophecy comes forth that it's not of God, that it's actually another spirit. And that's why there needs to be judgment of whether somebody is speaking from their flesh or whether it's actually from God. Okay, so it says, let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn. Notice here, prophesying and learning fits in together also. So when someone is prophesying, somebody can be learning. All right, it says that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So that's why everything needs to be done decently in order. Hey, Deb Doe's here. Praise God. It's good to have you here. All right. Let's see. Where were we? Decently and in order. I lost my place. Okay. Verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 14, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Here it is again. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But watch what else it says here. This is very important. This is why when we study the Word of God, we need to look at every single word when we're studying the Scriptures. It says, keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. There's that obedience again. As also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. So obviously, this is women that were unlearned, because it says, if they will learn anything, so they are unlearned. And it also says, let them ask their husbands at home. So they are married as well. And it also says in verse 34, let your women keep silence. Okay? So it is obviously a wife situation, husband-wife situation. Oh, Rosemary, do you have to go, or are you waving at Dovdo? Not sure. Okay. Anyway, so it says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, that subjection to their husbands. Okay, as also saith the law, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Okay, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Okay, some people look at this verse and think that this means no woman can read a scripture in church, that no woman can say anything in church at all. Okay, but we're going to look at some scriptures that contradict this. There is a certain reason why this was put in here. Loopy has signing off. I will listen to the rerun. Just come back to KC. Kind of tired and had a busy weekend. Well, it was good to have you for a little while, hon. God bless you. All right, let's see. Where was I? Okay, it says, a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Okay, this right here, I put a little fear in us, okay, of going against this. If we're interpreting this the way it's supposed to be, we need to be very careful, because it says, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Okay, then it says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, we're going to look at some words from this in the Greek. And the first one is the word church. Okay, remember, they're supposed to keep silence in the church. Well, let's look at what that word church actually means. It says a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, Jewish synagogue, or Christian community of members on earth, or saints in heaven, or both, assembly, church. So it would be assembling together of believers. Okay? All right. Let me look. I have looked up some others. I've got the one teaching here. I must have another scripture I need to hit, because it talks about women teaching. There was, I thought I had teaching one of these scriptures. Oh, yeah. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority. Okay, so I want to look at the word teach. I've got that from the Strong's also. And that says a prolonged positive form of a primary verb, deo, to learn, to teach, in the same broad application, teach. Okay. So that hits some of the main words from these verses. All right, now we're going to go to Titus chapter 2, verse 3. And now remember, he said he would suffer a woman not to teach. But this next scripture we're going to get into is going to directly contradict that. Okay, so we need to understand the context of why these scriptures are written the way they are. Okay, remember, those women were unlearned. Okay, now let's take a look at Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. But the other verse that we read out of 2 Timothy 2:1, it says, or 2 verse 12 says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Okay, so there's a big difference in here. One of them says, oh, suffer a woman not to teach, and the other one says that she can teach. Okay, so we need to look at all the scriptures. Whenever we get any kind of doctrine at all, we need to put all the scriptures together and make sure we look at the context. Okay, let's look at Titus 2, verse 3 again. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Okay, so here's a specific thing of teaching them, okay? But it is still teaching. Okay, it says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands. Now, they're teaching women that are married, okay? So, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Very important. Okay, now, if you look at the word teacher of good things, which is under the Greek word 2567, it says from the Greek 2570, kalos, and the Greek 1320, didaskalos, a teacher of the right, teacher of good things. So it basically teacher of good things is why it was interpreted that way. All right, now let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Okay, so we've already seen one place where it says women cannot teach. And then we've got another place where it says women can teach. Okay, that's why we've got to look at every word each time. Okay, Romans 7, verse 1 says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. That is when the law has dominion. Okay, it's as long as we're alive. It says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband. So if you're under the law, you're bound to your husband through the law, okay? It says, the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Okay. Let's go to John chapter 20. So let me bring something out from that. If a woman is a widow, she no longer would be subject to her husband. In fact, she wouldn't be subject to anyone other than God, from my understanding of that. If you guys have a different understanding, I'd appreciate you putting it in here or give me a call either way. Okay, John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. Okay, this was after Jesus was raised from the dead, the very day that Jesus was raised from the dead. And this is Mary that's outside the sepulcher. It says, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, so it wasn't there any longer. Okay, it says, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But, okay, now he's going to give her a commandment to do. He says, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. He gave her a commandment to speak his words to them. So the word of God was going to come out of her in the assembly of the apostles. They were assembled together, and she was to go to them while they were assembled together and give them a word of the Lord. Okay? Very important. The very first preacher, the very first person that was given a word from the Lord to share with someone else was a woman after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Very, very important. Remember the scripture that talked about the word coming out of a woman, all right? Well, Jesus directly contradicts that. It is to Mary. She's single, okay? And he sends her to his brethren, and she is to carry these words to them. Dorr, it's good to have you here. Dorr has Jeremiah 31:22. How long wilt thou go about, O backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman a woman shall compass a man. Exactly. I should have put that one in this study. Okay, the Spirit of God, when he is in us, the flesh of the woman is compassing that man. Okay, because the Spirit of God was within. Greg says, she was given a message to take to the disciples. Absolutely. She was given the word of the Lord to speak to them. So out of her was going to come the word of God. Okay? So the word of God was going to come out from her. All right? And it was going to go to them in the assembly. Okay? Well, I don't know how much more assembly than you can possibly get, but to have the apostles. All right, I would call that, if that isn't the first congregation, I don't know what would be. Okay, all right, and not only that, but he says, but go to my brethren. Okay, that is an assembly of the brethren. So it would absolutely fit in with that definition. All right, that is the congregation, because that's the congregation of the Lord. Beyond any shadow of doubt, that was the very first one. Okay, and it says, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So he gave her very specific words to carry to them. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. All right, now let's take a look from the Old Testament on and see how God used women. And so we're going to see whether the word of God in times past came out of women or not. Genesis 29, verse 9. I also want to show you how women actually were over sheep. Okay? Dorr has, that was then, we are in the end times where women are equal to men and all commanded to spread the gospel. I'm not going to go with the equal to men necessarily. It's equal to Christ. It's being in Christ is what counts. As far as men and women go, and we'll find out as we get into here. All right, let's go to Genesis 29, verse 9. And let me pull that up because we'll back it up and get it in context. Take me a moment to pull that up. It's Genesis 29, because we're not talking flesh here. This is where we need to understand. If a woman is walking in her flesh, then she better be subjecting herself completely to what it's saying. There is a big difference between a woman walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit of God. Remember, we talked about the women being unlearned, okay? It's completely different. All right, Genesis chapter 29, let's start in verse 1. It says, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. Behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, till they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. Very, very important. Rachel kept her father's sheep. Rachel was a shepherd. Okay, very important. And she also was responsible for getting water for these sheep. Okay, all right, let me look at the chat and see what we've got here. Let's see. God created man and woman, established their roles. That never changed. Greg has. Then Dor has, in this time of judgment, both men and women are judged equally according to their faith and works. Okay, Greg has, true. Greg has, but we are talking about the role of women and men in the church. Yeah, and we're getting there, guys. Just hang on, okay? That hopefully this is going to clear up as we get into the scriptures. Okay, now I'm just showing you that there were women in the Old Testament that took care of their father's sheep, okay? Very important, because this is a shepherd position, all right? I want to show you that that actually took place. All right, it says, and while, let's see, verse 10, and it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. Okay, so basically what I wanted you to see out of that was that Rachel had her father's sheep. She was being the shepherd of those sheep. All right, Exodus 15, verse 20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. This is Miriam, and she was a prophetess. Okay, a prophetess speaks the word of God to others. Okay, so the word of God did come out of women's mouths. Okay, very important. Remember the scripture in that New Testament that talked about what? The word come out from you. Okay, very important. Okay, because from the beginning, God did use women just like he used men to speak his word. Okay, not only that, but there are times when authority was definitely usurped through the word that came from them. Okay. Numbers 27 is our next one. as soon as I can get it pulled up here. Numbers chapter 27, verse 1. Says, then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and these are the names of his daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes of all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they were standing by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Okay. It says, and they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Okay, this is very important, because these women are wanting to have the inheritance passed down to them because their father did not have any sons. Okay, verse 4 says, why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. So this is going to show how women actually got the inheritance also when there was no sons there. Okay, it says, and Moses brought their cause before the Lord. So they took this directly to the Lord. Okay, and Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. Now remember, he even died in his own sins, but yet they still were going to get an inheritance. It says, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. See, one of the main reasons they did with the son was because the son carried the name of the father. Okay, and they wanted that name to be passed on to the children. Because if a woman married, she took on the name of her husband, and so the inheritance would not continue in that name. So it was very important here to see that this inheritance did need to be passed down. It was more important to get the inheritance than even the actual name from the looks of things. So verse 8 says, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And then it goes on and on. Okay, so the women actually did get an inheritance because of this. Okay, now let's go on to Judges. We're going to find out that there was a woman that was actually a judge. Judges chapter 4. See if I can pull that one up. This is very important. Now, Moses was judging Israel, okay? There were many judges, but there were actually women judges as well. So it's very important to look at all the scriptures. When we're looking for any kind of doctrine at all, we need to look at the entirety of the scriptures, okay? All right, this is Judges chapter 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And guys, if you have anything in particular for me, the chat's going kind of fast, so I'm not really keeping up very good. So if you want to make a comment to me that I need to bring out in the program here, please just write to me in private chat, okay, because I don't want to miss any questions or anything, okay? You said something about, please, Cheryl, practice what you preach, and I don't have any idea what you're talking about. If I've done something wrong, I would sure appreciate you showing me what I did wrong, okay, because I don't want to be in error in any way, so please show me what I'm doing wrong, okay, if I'm doing something wrong. Lee, thank you very much. All right. And the only reason I'm saying that is because you wrote in here, please, Cheryl, practice what you preach. So I don't have any idea what you're talking about. All right, Judges 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he might, chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, so she was not just a judge, but she was also a prophetess. That's why, Lee, you're talking about context, and that's why I'm starting in verse 1 to keep this in complete context. I'm doing my very best to try to keep it in context, so I'm not sure, you know, you're talking about context, so I don't know if I messed up or what. I don't have it. Please, feel free to call in. You know, it's real hard for me to understand what you're talking about when you just put a few words in the chat. I really want to understand what you're talking about. You said women can be political leaders and prophetesses. It doesn't say anything about being a political leader here. It has nothing to do with that. It's talking about her judging. It says, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidus, she judged Israel at that time. It says she was a judge. It has nothing to do with being political. She was showing them what they were doing wrong, according to the word of God. And she was a prophetess. So what prophets and prophetesses did was show when someone was going against the word of God. And that's basically what she did. That's what all the judges did. They would show them if they went against God. Okay. I don't consider that a political leader in any way at all. It has nothing to do with politics. She was being obedient to God. He's not a political leader either, in my view. That's the way I look at it. Okay, being a judge over Israel, I don't consider that being political, but that's neither here nor there. It doesn't really make any difference to me. It's no big deal. I don't think she led Israel. I think she judged Israel, according to what it says. She would prophesy. She would give them the word of the Lord. Okay, let's go on to the next one. So that was Deborah. She was a prophetess, and she was a judge. All right, now let's go to another one. Now, this is one you do not hear much about at all. And, in fact, until just maybe the last couple of years, I was not even familiar with this one. This one makes a big difference in how we look at women's role when it comes to how God did things. Okay, pay real close attention to this one. This is 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikva. Very important to understand here. Now, here is a married woman. Oh, we got a caller. Praise God. All right, maybe that's Lee. Hi.
You're on the air. Hey, Cheryl, Lee.
Hey, can you explain what you were talking about? Because I didn't quite get it.
Yeah, the point I'm trying to make is, I mean, let me refer to, and I have to refer to what you just said a second ago.
Okay.
No, God's not a quote-unquote politician. We can say, oh, I don't consider the grass to be green, but that doesn't mean it's not green. And we can say, I don't consider or look at the sky as being blue. It doesn't change the fact that it was blue. But, yes, Deborah was a political leader in Israel also. She was a political leader. She even led Israel into war, into battle. She judged over Israel in political matters also. See, what a lot of people don't understand, if you go to Romans, the 13th chapter, it lays out what politics are, what the civil magistrate is. And the civil magistrate is a political governing body, which Deborah was a part of, a political governing body within Israel. So she was. When I mean context, what I mean by this is that I don't think Greg or other men in the church are saying women can't lead or women can't be leaders, because I certainly believe that women can lead and women can be leaders. I think Greg's point of contention, if I'm understanding it, that he doesn't believe that women can be full-time pastors of churches. That's okay. The point I'm trying to make.
Oh, I'm not. The only reason I'm teaching this, it has nothing to do with any of that. I just want to give women an idea of because there's so many doctrines out there that really tear women up. And I want them to see God's perspective. Go ahead.
Oh, well, there's prophets all throughout the Bible. Even Paul, the Apostle Paul, had women within his ministry, and women play an extraordinarily important role in the ministry. I do believe that. So I would agree with you on that. I don't have a contention with you there.
Okay. No, I just wanted to bring forth a teaching just to try to let women know that God hasn't made a way for them too.
Oh, of course he has.
They do have a place. You know,
well, if we go to Galatians 3:28,
go ahead.
If you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, it says, "Now therefore, there's no Jew nor Gentile, speaking of race, male nor female, speaking of gender, slave nor free."
Yeah, I have that. I have that in the teaching.
Yeah,
that's
speaking
one
of
my
social
latter
status,
ones.
God doesn't judge us according to our race, our gender, or our social status, because we're all one in Christ. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Well, thanks. That's all I have to say.
And I am headed that direction, okay?
All right, thanks.
That's one of my finished scriptures in this teaching, because I want to show them that. No, it's okay. No problem. I'm glad to see we're on the same page in that area. Praise God. Thanks for calling.
All right, no problem.
And if you want to stay on here, I'll keep you on here. No problem.
Oh, I got to roll anyway. I'm going to stay in the chat room. I'm doing something multitasking right now, but I'll stay in the chat.
Okay, well, thanks. If you have something else, feel free to call back.
All right, I will. Thanks.
All right, thank you. All right, now back to 2 Kings 22, verse 14. So let's see. I don't know if that's where we were at or not. Yeah, we just started in this. So Hilkiah the priest and Anakim, now I just said his name again, and Achbor, and Shaphan and Azariah went unto Huldah the prophetess. Okay, she was a prophetess, but she also is a wife, because it says the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Kikva, the son of Harhaz, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. This is something else that jumped out to me from this verse. Here's a college. I'm not talking about women being pastors here, okay? All I'm showing you is that Rachel did keep the sheep, okay? I'm just showing you scriptures. I'm not trying to say that women have any particular role. I just want to present what the scriptures show, okay? So I don't want any contention or anything like that. I just want to show you what the scriptures show. And then we can all take from the scriptures what we believe to be true or not, okay? So I'm just going to present you with the scriptures. All right, so anyways, here's a prophetess, and she's a wife, okay? So this would actually fit in with that other scripture in, I think it was Timothy, about the woman being silent in the church, okay? So watch what happens here, though. Okay, she's a prophetess, so obviously the word of God comes out of this woman, but watch how this happens. It says, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhaz, keeper of the wardrobe. Now, she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. This is also very important, okay, in the college, all right? It says, and they communed with her, and she said unto them. Now, remember, this is Hilkiah, the high priest, and it doesn't say high priest here, but it does actually say it in another verse that we're going to hit, okay? All right, so this is Hilkiah the high priest, all right, that came to her to get a word from God. All right, and she's a wife, okay? Very interesting. Okay, so it says in verse 15, and she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, if that isn't the word of God coming out of the mouth of a woman, I don't know what is, okay? She said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man, and this was the king that actually sent them to her, okay? It says, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all their works of their hands, with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. You talk about usurping authority. Now, this woman was usurping authority if you look at it in that way. But it's not that way, because all she's doing is doing what God commanded her to do. Very important difference. If she had done it of herself, like the definition that we looked at earlier about the women usurping authority, if it had been of herself, she would have been going against the way he set up the church. But it was the Spirit of God speaking through her, and so it's completely different. Okay, this she couldn't usurp authority because there's only one authority, and that is God. And it was he gave her the authority to speak the word. Big difference here, okay? So when men say women cannot speak the word of God, God uses women to not only speak his word, but to speak it to the high priest and to the king that was ruling at the time. Very, very important, okay? If they're speaking from their flesh, they're usurping authority. But if it's the Spirit of God doing it in them, it's completely different, okay? Real important to understand. Okay, so it says, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, so this is the king that sent him to her. It says, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Now, word came from a woman. Okay, it came out of a woman, but it came from God. Big difference, okay? Big difference. All right. Oh, I'm missing so much in the chat here. We have to remember that if we're walking in the Spirit, we're not doing the deeds of the flesh. That is the whole difference here. It's not the woman that's doing the works, but it's God that's doing it within them. And even in the Old Testament, God used women that way. Why didn't God use her husband? He didn't. He chose to use her. I don't know why. But obviously God can do what he wants to, and he can use whoever he wants to do what he wants done. Okay. All right, 2 Corinthians. We're going to see the same picture, but here we're going to find out that Hilkiah was actually the high priest. Okay. Well, I thought it said high priest. Maybe it doesn't. It says the priest. Maybe it says high priest later on. Okay, let's read 2 Corinthians 34:14. I might be wrong. God forgive me if I am. All right, it says, verse 14, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me. So they went to her to inquire of the Lord. Okay. It says, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us. That's why they wanted to inquire of the Lord, because the wrath of God was coming down on them. And they found that book and found out, well, now they know why. Okay, so it says, the wrath of the Lord is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king hath appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikva, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. So here it says that again. And they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord God, the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants, the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah. And so it goes on and talks about how she told them basically the same thing as in the other one. Okay, so this is a woman that is married, but God spoke through her, you know, and to men in the flesh, it would look like she was usurping authority over the man. If that happened in the church today, it would look like she was usurping authority over her husband by bringing forth the word of the Lord. She was bringing forth the word to the priest. This is very important. And it was going also to the king of Judah. Now, if that wasn't a congregation, I don't know what is. Okay? They came and communed with her in the college. All right? And she delivered the word of the Lord. So the word of God did come out of a woman's mouth. All right? So we need to understand that God can do whatever he wants to. Just because the scripture says, what, came the word of God out of you or came it out of you only? We need to be really, really careful. Those women were unlearned, and they needed to learn from their husbands at home. This is a completely different situation with Huldah, the prophetess. She obviously was learned. She was in the college, okay? Her husband didn't step up and tell her to shut her mouth. All right, so obviously he knew the authority of God that was resting on her, okay? And so she not only spoke to the priest at the time, but gave word for the king also. Now, you talk about usurping authority. If that is the way you want to look at it from the flesh, then that would be done. But this is a spiritual picture, and the authority, there's only one authority, and that's God. And so if he put something in her to give to them, it's his authority that did it. Okay, Nehemiah 6, verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So here's a prophetess, Noadiah. Okay, Isaiah 8, verse 3. I must be missing something, Brian. I don't know what, if you're having a problem with what I'm saying here or what. I'm just giving examples of how this happened in the Bible. Lovely. All I'm doing is giving scriptures, okay? That's it. Take it or leave it. All right, Isaiah 8:3. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Maher Shalahazbaz. Okay, so here's another prophetess. All right, Luke. Let's look into the New Testament here. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. So here again is a prophetess within the New Testament scriptures. Okay? Revelation. Now we're going to hit Jezebel. Now there was false prophetesses also. There was true prophetesses of God and false prophetesses. Okay? Just like there are men that are prophets and there are false prophets. Same thing. Okay? God shows you the whole picture within the scriptures when you dig deep enough. Okay. Revelation 2, verse 20. I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. Okay, that's in the flesh. She's calling herself a prophetess instead of actually being a prophetess. She calls herself one, and many people claim to be prophetesses, but they're not. Or they claim to be prophets, and they're not. It's either, and some of them are false prophetesses that God will send the lying spirit into them to see if people will believe it or not. It's a trial of their faith, whether they're going to believe God's voice or another. Okay, it says, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. Okay, so this is her job, is to seduce and get the servants to commit fornication to another god. It says, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols instead of the sacrifices of God, which is his word, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's look at Joel. How much time I got? Okay, about 47 minutes. Joel chapter 2, verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I don't know if there's an argument going on in here or what. I'm looking at the chat. Okay, let's get back to this. All right. Let's see. I will pour out of my spirit, Sorry, I added it of. That wasn't in there. Forgive me, Lord. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So the Spirit of God being poured down upon us gives us the spirit to prophesy at times. Okay, so it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And you can't prophesy if the word of God is not coming out of your mouth. If you're a true prophetess of God, it is the word that is being spoken through that body of that woman. If she's a prophetess, the word of God is coming out of her mouth. Okay. You can't be a prophetess unless it's the word of God coming out. A true prophetess. Okay, so it says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So here's daughters it's talking about. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit, and I will shew wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Okay, now let's look. That was the prophecy of what was going to happen in the book of Acts later. And this is what happened on Pentecost. Now we're going to go to the fulfillment of the Joel 2, or part of the fulfillment of the Joel 2 scriptures. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and this was when the Spirit was poured out upon them. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit. That's why I want to throw that of in, because in the New Testament it has of my Spirit, where in the other one it doesn't. It says, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And we know through the scriptures that Jesus shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. It was the Spirit that was on him that was shed forth. He was pouring forth God's Spirit to us. Okay, it says, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, okay, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So here, it's even the word handmaidens, okay? And they shall prophesy. Okay, Acts 21, verse 9. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. This is the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 9. This is after the Spirit was poured out. This guy had four virgins, which did prophesy. Okay, Matthew 27, verse 55. This shows something else that the women did. It says, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Well, Miriam was ministered to the Lord. Okay, it's ministering. She worshiped him with timbrels and dances, okay? That was a way of ministering to God. Well, here, these women also that followed Jesus, they were ministering unto him according to Matthew 27:55. Okay, basically the teaching that I'm doing is on women, Brian. That's why we got into this. This is just showing when the scriptures say that the word of God is not supposed to come out of a woman's mouth, the reason I brought this teaching up is because there's a lot of doctrines out there that say women cannot speak in the church, that they can't do anything for God, basically. And so I wanted to bring out that women absolutely have always had a role in God's kingdom. And they still do. And that's one of the main reasons I'm bringing this out, is to clarify the doctrine that gets twisted an awful lot. It's just the word of God came out of a donkey, too. Yeah, anytime the Lord speaks through me, I consider myself nothing but a donkey, let me tell you. Stay humble. That's the main thing, is not let pride get in there. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 15. Verse 40, this is talking about how women were around Jesus again. All right, there were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. So here the women again ministered unto him. Look at the woman. I don't have those scriptures in here, but what about the woman that anointed his feet, you know, and washed his feet with her tears? You know, she anointed him and prepared him for the burial. The anointing came from her. Isn't that awesome? Okay, so here it says, there were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. They came up with him. So not just the disciples were there, but the women were there as well. Very, very important. came up with him unto Jerusalem. Okay, let's look at Mark chapter 12, verse 47. Yeah, Doug Doe has, Cheryl is not saying that every woman that teaches is anointed, but that it is scripture that some were and are. Absolutely, Doug Doe, thank you very much for writing that in here, because I want to make that perfectly clear. There are many women, just like there are many men out there, that have not been sent by God. Okay, let's make this real clear, because if they have not been sent by God, they are fulfilling the scriptures we started out with, where those women were to keep silent in the church. If they were unlearned and it was not God himself that was operating through them, then they need to keep their mouths shut and not be speaking in the assembly, okay? But if God is speaking through them, they better not hold back, okay? They better be obedient to God, all right? That would be equal to keeping the commandments of God, because if God's telling you to do something, you better be doing it, because otherwise you are rebelling against God. And what did they do to the rebellious children? Okay. All right. Dor has Matthew 19:29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Okay, let's go on to Matthew 12. Now we're going to find out who is his mother and who is his brethren. And we're going to get done early tonight, looks like. All right, Matthew 12, verse 47. Then one said unto him, okay, guys, since we have a whole bunch of time, if somebody wants to call in and give any viewpoint, that number to call in, because we've got like 38 minutes left, and I've only got a couple more scriptures here. The number to call in is 1-646. Let me put that in here. 1-646-478-5014. That's 1-646-478-5014. And I welcome any callers on here, okay? I'd love to have you guys call in and give me your opinions yourselves. It would be great. Okay, where was I? Matthew 12, verse 47. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Now, this is very important. I use this one a lot when I'm dealing with Catholics, and they want to lift up Mary above everybody else and want to worship her, because Jesus uses these scriptures here to put her in her place and show how she compares to those that are obedient to him. It says, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. He considers his mother and his brethren to be those, according to this next verse, says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. If we are doing his will, he considers us his mother as well, okay? Because we birth him in ourselves and other people. So if we would, in a way, be his mother, we would also be his sister. We would also be his, those of us that are males would be his brothers, all right? Those of us that are females would be his sisters or mothers, okay? If you bring forth children into the kingdom, that makes you a mother in a way, okay? That's reproducing in the kingdom for God, or for the kingdom of God, rather. All right, so it's whosoever will do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. It's doing his will that counts above everything. And it's like when a woman is given a word to speak in a church, And they look at these scriptures that say that suffer not a woman to speak. You know, what, the word of God came out from you or came to you only? We need to understand the context of these scriptures. It's real important to understand the people that it was talking to, the fact that these were unlearned and married women, plus if they're unlearned, they're not walking totally in the Spirit of God. So it's real important to look at these scriptures in the context and not hang our doctrine on a couple of scriptures. As I've shown you through this study, there are many, many scriptures that show the Word of God coming out from women, okay? So if a woman, according to the law, was never supposed to speak the Word of God, these other scriptures wouldn't be in there, okay? So there was a particular time when women were not supposed to speak. Okay, Galatians 3, verse 27 is our next one. Brian has Proverbs 7:4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Oh, good one, Brian. Cool. All right, if you guys want to post some scriptures in here that I haven't covered earlier, throw them in here, okay? Because I got lots of time. And I want you to remember, when we go to this Galatian scripture, the same person that spoke in these other scriptures is the same person that's speaking here. You know, the one that told that women are not supposed to speak, but watch what this one says. Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We're not doing the works of a woman anymore. We're doing the works of God. Okay, I've got some scriptures in here. Let me read. Dor has 1 Corinthians 7, 32 to 33. But I would have you, let's see, I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Good one, Dor. Awesome. Thank you very much for putting that in here, because that also makes the difference whether a woman is married or not. Personally, I'm not married, okay? My focus is on God and him alone and doing his will. I don't have anybody else that I have to listen to, okay? I go to God because my dad is not in the Lord. And so that eliminates that. And so I go directly through Jesus Christ to the Lord. All right? He is my husband. All right? And so my focus is on him, just like what she's got in these scriptures. Okay. All right. Brian has John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, brother, sister, mother, he has. Brian has, love your wife, and I think it's as Christ loved the church. And that's willingly sacrificing your life. Okay, let's go back to this. Now remember, verse 28 of Galatians 3 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. If your body is dead, if you have crucified your flesh, and it is the spirit that's now operating in you, it's not you anymore. It doesn't matter what sex you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It's Christ that's doing the works in you. It's not you. You are just an instrument. You know, it's like an empty vessel that he pours through. That's it. You know, we're no longer considered male or female, because if we're a new creature in Christ, we're not that same person anymore. And so God is able to use us however he wants to use us. Okay, Brian has cleave, the Hebrew 1:6-9:2, means properly to impinge, i.e. cling or adhere, to catch by pursuit. Not sure why you have that in there. When a man finds a good wife, he finds a good thing. Amen. Well, that's like Christ in the church. He's looking for people that are going to serve him his way. Okay, verse 29 of Galatians 3 says, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." There's the heirs of the kingdom again. Even though you may be a woman, that inheritance is handed down to you, just like we saw in the Old Testament. God has made a way through the scriptures to show us that we still get an inheritance, even though we may start out as a woman. When we are in Christ Jesus and obedient to him, it is him that is flowing through us. And so our womanhood means nothing anymore once we are learned and once we are taught by God. We are walking in him, not walking in our flesh anymore. Brian has 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and his works in an infidel." Okay, Dor has, let's see, "Ignoring Christ for your own desire." Yeah, that's the problem, is picking and choosing scriptures. We should never, ever do that. And that's how a lot of the false doctrine against women have come about. Because they'll take those two scriptures where women are supposed to keep silent, and they'll build a church on that, and any woman that comes in the door, they are to tell, they can't even sing to the Lord. They can't even minister to God in those churches. You know, there are churches like that out there that take those scriptures and they blow them out of proportion, and they don't look at the whole doctrine about women within the scriptures. And so that's one of the main reasons I wanted to bring this up today, so that we could get this cleared up and see that women, when they are in Christ Jesus, they're no longer a woman in the flesh, because their flesh is supposed to be crucified. So if they are dead, you know, it's like a lot of guys tend to think that the sins of the woman in the Garden of Eden, all sins were forgiven but the one that Eve did. Well, Jesus Christ came here to set us free from all sins, not just the ones that were done after Eve, but from that one also. And if we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free, then we're free of that sin too when we're in Christ Jesus. That is not going to hold us anymore, okay? And even if they try to go say, well, according to the law, women couldn't do this. Well, let's look at how God did with women. Show them Huldah the prophetess, how she was married and how she spoke the word of God even to the priest, okay? Show them these scriptures so that they can see, you know, you need to take these things in context and stop using it to slam women down and put them under your feet, because they can be used of God just as much as a man can be, okay? And God chooses the position that he puts women in, all right? To me, a woman is not really would be a pastor. I know I showed you a scripture where I think it was Rachel was actually a shepherd of the sheep. But to me, that should be a man's position, because it's like a headship position over a flock. And Jesus Christ was like that father image over the group in order to comfort them and give security to them. Because if you look at the flock and the shepherd, well, that shepherd would have to go against, like David did, he would have to go against the lion and the bear that would try to get a hold of the flock. And so to me, that's more of a male role. But I'm not saying that women cannot be shepherds, because otherwise there would not have been that in there. But according to the scriptures now, as far as a woman being a bishop, now it says to a man. So, you know, I'm just bringing out some of the things that I've seen. And so I just want you to know that God can speak through women, all right? He can, and he does all the time, okay? Oh, Lord, Brian says you have to look at the priesthood. Dor has, you won't receive the meat if you are cleaving to wives and the things of this life. Yeah, that's why we have to crucify the flesh. Absolutely. Brian has, that's why we got feminine men. We need testosterone-filled men, testosterone-filled men of God. No, we need men that have the Spirit of God. It has nothing to do with testosterone. It has to do with either they're being obedient to God or they're not. It has nothing to do with male or female, according to the Scripture. There is neither male nor female, so it really doesn't matter. If it's God doing it in them, he can take care of the rest because their flesh is supposed to be dead anyway, so it doesn't matter what's flowing through the flesh. Okay. All right, guys. That's all I got. So unless somebody wants to call in and give some opinions on here, feel free. Greg, I know you had a lot of things to say to begin with, but I haven't seen you post for quite a while. If you'd like to call in, I would love to hear your perspective on this, Greg. I really would, because I know I've seen some things that you posted that seem to contradict some of the things that I'm teaching. So if you would like to talk about this, hey, we've got like 20 minutes, 24 minutes yet, and I'd love to have somebody call on here and tell. And if you have any questions on this at all, Greg, or anybody else that's in here, I would love to have you call in. Hi, Recon. Praise God. It's good to have you in here, too. Unless somebody calls or gives me a question or something pertaining to this topic, we're probably going to close out. Okay? I wish I could remember some of the things that Greg said that seems to be a little contradictory of some of the things I was saying. I hope that the scriptures that I got into kind of cleared that up, that perspective a little bit better. The main thing I want people to get out of this is the same sin that Eve did in the garden, that sin has also been forgiven when we're being obedient to Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. We can't keep holding Eve's sin over women's heads. And if we are in Christ Jesus, walking in the Spirit the way we're supposed to be, he can use us however he wants to. And for example, what I do was actually, the calling that I have was offered to two men before me. God offered it to my son first, and he also offered it to a pastor of a church that I have gone to recently. And that was well over 11 years ago. And both of those men refused the call, and I didn't. And so God will use whoever. You know, he could have gotten men to do the judging of Israel, but God knows our hearts, whether it's a woman's heart or it's a man's heart. God will use whoever he wants to use. Okay. Well, I'm glad, Dovdo. Dovdo has. Cheryl, thank you so much for these scriptures. They have really opened my eyes. Thank you. Praise God. Well, I'm glad it could be helpful. You know, a lot of women really get beaten down. You don't have anything more to say about the topic? Okay. All right, Greg. Thank you very much. I hope that kind of answered your questions a little bit, Greg, as far as women and their role in the church. I hope so, anyway. All right, guys, I'm going to close out then. If nobody has anything else, we're going to end the program, okay? I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. I really appreciate you taking time out and joining me tonight. I hope you all have a wonderful night in Jesus. May God bless and keep each and every one of you in his saving grace. Okay? Bye-bye. I love you all. Have a good night. Bye.
There's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no home, still in love. Even then, God was faithful.